Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue our discussion of renewing the mind. If you've been with us for the past few weeks, you know we've been looking at this subject, what it is to renew your mind, why we do it, how we do it. Paul wrote to Christians in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we are to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, and we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've made the point that renewing the mind is not simply adding new information to what you already know. It involves a supernatural transformation of your view of reality so that you begin to see things the way they really are, according to God. A renewed mind sees reality as it truly is, as God sees it. And we've made the point that renewing the mind is accomplished by the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in us as we cooperate with God through reading the Bible and praying in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, we further made the point that our minds must be renewed so that we can demonstrate the will of God in our lives. That's what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. I didn't quote the whole verse. It says, "But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Our minds must be renewed so that we can demonstrate the will of God in our lives. God's will is first and foremost that we become His sons and daughters through faith in Christ, and then be conformed to the image of Christ. Jesus, in His humanity, is the pattern for God's family. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "Whom He foreknew, He did also predestinate that we should be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the eldest among many brethren," or the firstborn among many brethren. "And those whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." To be conformed to the image of Christ means to be made like Jesus in character, power, holiness, and love. Renewing the mind is a key part of the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We've made this point in earlier lessons. People tend to think of the will of God in terms of where should I work, what house should I buy, what kind of car should I drive, where should I go to school. And I am not disputing that God does have input into that. He does have a will in regard to those things. But God is actually much more concerned that you develop Christ-likeness in your character than He is where you go to school or what job you have. I'm not saying that those other things aren't important, but your ultimate destiny, and it's a destiny that's going to outlast this life, is to be made like Jesus in character and power and holiness and love. You don't become Jesus. You're you perfected, the you were always meant to be. We discuss this in quite a bit of detail over the past couple of weeks. Jesus is God become a man without ceasing to be God. While on earth, He did not live as God. He lived as a man in dependence on God, His Father, and He showed us what human beings look like when they live by the life of the Father. Now, we made the point that when we believe on Jesus, a process of transformation begins that will ultimately make us like Jesus in every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body. At the new birth, when we're born again, we're united to the life in God, and our spirit is made alive with the eternal, uncreated life of God. And that life transforms our spirit and conforms it to the image of Jesus Christ. That life will ultimately transform every part of our being and can potentially affect us in this present life, making us increasingly Christ-like. When Jesus comes again, our bodies will be glorified or made alive with the uncreated eternal life of God or conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That won't happen until the second coming or in connection with the second coming. Whole can of worms for another day. But it is possible for that life we received in the new birth into our spirit to affect this present life, making us more Christ-like. God transforms us from the inside out. The life of God in our spirit can manifest in our flesh. Now remember how we defined flesh last week. Your flesh is the unchanged parts of you, the parts of you that were not directly affected by the new birth, your mind, your emotions, and your physical body. But that life in your spirit that came into you when you were born again can show up in those unchanged parts and change them in increasing degrees. But that will never happen if your mind is not renewed. That will never happen if you don't know what the entrance of eternal life into your spirit has made you, is making you, and will make you, if that doesn't become your view of reality. Now, what I want to focus on this week, I want to continue our discussion about who and what we really are now that we're born of God, because our minds must be renewed to our true identity so that the inward changes show up on the outside. As our minds are renewed to our true identity because we're born of God, those inward changes can show up on the outside. Part of renewing your mind involves becoming aware of the changes that have occurred in your spirit. Now, we become aware of that through the Word of God. The Word of God is the mirror that shows us or tells us about the inward changes that took place through the new birth. Part of renewing our mind involves becoming aware of those changes through the Word of God and then learning to identify with what you are, with what you truly are, because you're born of God. See, the condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity. The condition of your spirit is the basis of who and what you are. Before you were born again, the problem wasn't just what you did, namely you committed sins. The problem was what you were. You were by nature a sinner. You were a sinner by birth. See, one of the consequences of Adam's sin in the garden was the production of a sin nature in the human spirit. We could do a whole lesson on this, but think about it for a minute. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Then Adam and Eve have Cain and Abel. And Cain kills Abel. One son kills the other son and then lies about it. Beings made in the image of God, the first two beings born of natural processes from two other beings who were directly created by God and made in His image, well, one of them kills the other. He's manifesting the two traits of the devil, murdering and lying. Jesus said in John 8:44, you're of your father, the devil. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. What happened? Well, Romans 5:19 says that through the sin of Adam, men were made or constituted sinners. Let me just read a few translations there. The many were constituted sinners. The whole race was rendered sinful. Ephesians 2:3 says, before we're born again, we are by nature objects of God's wrath. Goodspeed's translation says, and by nature we were doomed to God's wrath. Now that word nature there, we were by nature objects of God's wrath, deserving of the wrath of God, because we were by nature sinners. That word nature comes from a word that means to generate, to produce, or to bring forth by natural production or lineal descent. In other words, by virtue of our natural first birth, by virtue of our lineal descent from Adam, we're all directly descended from Adam, we were made sinners. But here's the thing. At the new birth, we receive a new nature. We receive a new nature. We become partakers of the nature of God, of the life in God, of God's nature. Now you might say, no, that's a little too freaky for me. Well, it's what the Bible says. Let me read you 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Let me read it out of the Amplified. It says, by means of these, we're coming in the middle of a thought, by means of promises God has made to us of salvation through Christ, by means of these he has bestowed upon us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you might become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says that through Christ we become partakers of the divine nature. It says it in the King James as well. And that word nature, it's the same word used in Ephesians 2, 3 that says we were by nature children of wrath before we were born again. Well, now, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we partake, whereby are given unto us, I'm reading the King James just so you can see I'm telling the truth, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We receive God's life, are part of something that's in God himself. Now let me be clear, we don't become gods, we don't become divine, we become partakers of his life. We discussed this in some detail last week. At the new birth, the Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus as truly as a branch is joined to a vine, or a head is joined to a body, or a husband is joined to a wife. The Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus by putting his life, the eternal, uncreated life in God, into our spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, the life that is found in union with Christ Jesus is eternal life. We become partakers of his nature. We receive a new nature, and the process of transformation begins. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.